Hugh elected to roll with Peyton Thorne versus Louisiana Monroe, and it paid off. But what does that say moving forward?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to rock and roll. Happy Monday. Big game that's coming up this weekend, Auburn versus Texas A&M, and we're going to talk about it all week. Today, we're going to talk about quarterbacks. It's going to be a lot of fun, like we do every single show, it almost seems like we're talking about the quarterback situation. But I think there's some key points that we can take away from this weekend to maybe silence a little bit of the conversation, or at least make some of the conversation make sense. And I got a question that I want to ask that I think is being missed. I think we're asking the wrong questions. We're going to talk about that as well. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for the double up deposit bonus. No matter what sport it is, if you wanted to bet that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson acting lessons that we got, you could have got in on that. I got baited into taking Tyson, and it was obviously seemed like the whole thing was staged. But you could have bet it if you wanted it to, and they have every other sport that you can imagine as well. Use that coupon code, give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back to play with, absolutely free. Up to $1,000, and then you got some free money that you can bet and try to win. Everybody loves free, risk-free money. So give them a shot. Mybookie.ag. So last week there was a lot of conversations and there was a lot of quotes, and I even honestly during the bye week I took a lot of things that Hugh said to make it really seemed like he was going to move on from Peyton Thorne. He made comments like, you got to look at the big picture. Peyton's played solid, but there's a lot of things that led a lot of people to believe that during that off week, you would make a switch to Hank and then let Hank play this Louisiana Monroe game and then see what happens in the next two games and sort of quote unquote build for the future. Which may or may not make sense. But as the week went on last week, this past week, and it started to seem like, you know, Peyton was going to be healthy and able to go, and he took more and more reps. And then, you know, towards the end of the week, it was really quiet. They didn't have to do the availability report because it was not an SEC game. Towards the end of the week, they announced Peyton was going to be the starter, and there was a lot of emotions. Justifiably so. I think I understand a lot of the disdain. I understand a lot of the frustration. But he rolls with Peyton, and Peyton has a really good game against an opponent that he typically has a really good game against. Now, I'm not saying – and I think Hank probably could have had a very similar outing. But I don't think that's the point. I think the point is why Hugh made the decision that he made, what it means going forward, and are we asking the questions that we need to be asking? Two things can be true at once. I'm going to steal something from Daryl Daprich. Peyton can give you the best chance to win, but that doesn't mean it has to be a very big chance, and it doesn't negate his flaws. It doesn't negate how limited you are at times in your offense, in his decision-making. But that doesn't mean that he still doesn't give you the best chance to win. There's a lot of teams that have a starter at insert position that don't have good records that person is still the starter for the whole season. That happens quite often. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're continuing to do the definition of insanity, continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You don't just a simple change to just try stuff out doesn't always benefit you in a positive manner. It's not like, oh, well, we found out. Now let's go back to what we were doing. I just think Peyton, he's played pretty solid football. If you, again, understand all the limitations. If you look at his stat line, granted, he's really racked up some stats against some subpar competition. But I mean, if I gave you his stat line at the beginning of the year at this point in time, and told you, you know, would you take it? Would you be happy with it? I think most would. The problem is everything that's gone along around it. You know, the critical turnovers, the poor special teams play, all that stuff mixed in is made for a perfect storm of disaster and frustration and anger. And I understand a lot of it. I sometimes I wonder if the questions we're asking though are being asked in the right direction, if that makes sense. And I'll tell you what I mean. To me, the bigger story, you know, to me, the bigger story is not so much that of that game is not that Walker played over Hank. I think the bigger story is that Peyton played over Hank. Peyton's lost four of his last five starts. It's felt like Auburn has been limited a little bit in offense, or you've been trying to do things to protect the big turnover. You've been trying to, you know, dumb down or simplify, things like that. And it seems like that would all kind of points the finger towards Peyton being the issue. But even still, with all that, you roll with him in this game leading into the last two games. That means that the coaching staff feels like Peyton gives them the best chance to win after everything they've seen. They could easily make switches. They could have made a switch several times and probably been justified in doing so, but you still stick with Peyton. And I talked about this a little bit on the reaction show. If they feel like Peyton's the best option, you can't bench him just to build for the future. Because again, you send a terrible message. You know, you send a terrible message that basically says, I'm giving up on the season by going and preparing for the future. Sorry, seniors. Sorry, guys that are maybe leaving after this year. We're cashing it in. We're going to prepare for the future, but you guys can't quit. You guys have to play through the whistle. You guys have to fight for four quarters, fight to the end of the season. You guys can't give up, but we're giving up. I think that's the message it sends. If Peyton is clearly the best option, which I think it's unless you are under the mindset that you're smarter than the coaching staff, or you know more than the coaching staff, it's pretty clear to me. And I don't really have a dog in the fight one way or the other. I think, you know, either one of them, I can see arguments. I did a pro-con show last week, the pros and cons of both. I think there's good arguments on both sides. But to me, when the staff makes the decision to roll with Peyton, to me it says, you know, we understand how important this Louisiana Monroe game is. The coaching staff's probably safe this year regardless. But hey, if you lose that Louisiana Monroe game, the conversations may change. I mean, that's getting into uncharted territory. That's getting into, man, this season's gone off the rails. But now, like, there's some insidious issues here that need to be addressed if you lose that game. And they could have gone with either one, and they went with Peyton. They felt like, if this was a must win, if this was a one that you had to get under just to sort of take a breath and reload for the rest of the season, and they went with Peyton, to me that says Peyton's the guy you got to go with. You can't just throw everything away, no matter what the record is. You can't just throw that away and send that message to the team just to quote unquote prepare for the future, or if you got to play the best player. Even if the best player doesn't yet necessarily yield the best results, that didn't come out correctly. I think you understand what I'm saying. You got to play the best player, even if the best player doesn't necessarily yield a win. It's going to give you the best opportunity for a win, even if it's a small opportunity. So the question I think that everyone should be asking, this is the questions two questions really that I think everyone should be asking in press conferences and things like that. Not why did you choose Peyton over Hank or why did you choose Walker over Hank? I think the question should be, if Hank wasn't an option versus ULM after Peyton lost four of the last five starts, why was he an option after game two? I think that's the question to ask. Why did you make a switch after game two if after game nine you look at the record and you've lost four out of five four out of the last five games? The timing made sense. You come off a bye week. All of that made sense. The question should be, why would Hank not be an option here when he was an option at the beginning of the season? Did we pull the trigger too fast? Did you maybe panic a little bit after the Cal game? I think those are the questions to ask, not necessarily which quarterback it should be. It doesn't make – to me, it makes way more sense to give Hank a shot against Louisiana Monroe than it did maybe if you go all the way back to the Cal game, after the Cal game. But you don't do that. I'm curious as to why one made more sense than the other. That's a question that I think should be asked. Another question, people ask, what if you left Hank in for the whole Arkansas game instead of yanking him after that first half? My question is, what if Peyton stays in? What if Peyton never gets yanked? What if Peyton plays New Mexico? What if Peyton plays against Arkansas the whole game? What do you look like then? Instead of the discombobulation of switching quarterbacks and then going back, maybe it doesn't make any difference. It's a whole lot easier to coach in hindsight. It's a whole lot easier to make decisions in hindsight. But I think those are better questions to be asking right now. Because I think it means are you acting out of character? Is it decisions that are made out of character? I would just love to know, because of the situation, because of, the losses, the turnovers, were they justifiable decisions now looking back? I mean, I think those are the questions that need to be asked versus instead of let's argue over who's the better quarterback. Wait a minute. Okay. That to me is settled. I want to know why Hank wasn't an option now, but he was an option then. That's the question I want answered. What's happened between then and now? And why would we, did we make that much of a decision based off of a half a play, or, has something happened in practice that's made you feel different? Like that's the question I want answered. What's the difference between the beginning of the season and now, as far as choosing Hank to get a start versus not? I think that's a better question to ask. We're going to move on to this Hank versus Walker discussion and listen to Hugh, because I think that, a lot of people thought maybe that's a signal. Maybe that's a smoke signal that, Walker's jumped ahead of Hank. So let's hear what Hugh has to say after the game, and we'll break it down.
Thought process.
Yeah, that was a tough discussion. Not a tough, just, you don't know exactly what's right. It truthfully has no reflection on Hank at all. And I know people won't understand that, and they can make what they want, but I'm dead serious. It was really, do we keep – if we do that, do you go Hank at the beginning of the third, or do you continue to build confidence with the receivers and Peyton for a couple more possessions heading into the last few games, knowing that you might only get one of them in? And if it is one, which one? And we all kind of agreed, ultimately, it was my call. And I thought I wanted to see Walker, in some live reps before the season was over. But truthfully, it had nothing to do with Hank not preparing well or playing well. They just, you can't get them all in, and really wanted to see Walker in some live reps.
To me, that makes a ton of sense. And I think the knee jerk reaction was, oh man, what's going on now? Walker has jumped ahead of Hank, but because of the way the running clock went in the second half of the first game, because you made a quarterback change against New Mexico, and instead of pulling Hank, late in the game and putting in Walker, then you needed those extra reps with Hank playing, with the starters and getting that, getting that momentum built because of the whole like perfect storm of issues that have arisen, that have come up. Walker has not had an opportunity to get in and get live reps, which are just really invaluable. So I think that has a heck of a lot more to do with clearly why that decision was made versus Hugh doesn't love Hank anymore and he just chose he put Walker in over him. I think it was just sort of like a perfect storm of events. And honestly, I think it was the right decision. He talked about, should I have put Hank in at the beginning of the third quarter? Well, again, that goes back to the question of, are you trying to win every game? Are you trying to win this game? And are you trying to win the next two games? Are you not quitting? And I think giving Peyton just a little bit more time to just let it rip and go and create that chemistry, continue to create that chemistry, and try to find something you can build on to give you a chance to win these next two games. You need to try to fight for bowl eligibility. You need to try to show everybody you're going to fight, especially, you know, with this big home game now got moved to under the lights. It's going to be an intense environment, I think. A lot of recruits in attendance. I understand that decision process. Let's give him just a few more reps just to see if, you know, just to see if we can find something. And I think, I don't know that they found necessarily, I'm not saying they found anything, but it gave them the opportunity to try to find some things that they can build off of over these next 2 weeks. All of that to me, when you hear it played out, makes a lot of sense. And I don't necessarily think it means anything negative towards Hank. I don't think it means anything negative at all. It was just sort of like a perfect storm scenario to where it just played against him, is played against his favor as far as getting playing time. So again, I'm excited to see those two guys battle it out if they both hang around. And we're going to talk about the future here in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. No matter what you have going on in retirement, no matter what you have going on in your savings, you need to give Ford a shout just to double check, just to verify and make sure that you've done everything that you can do to just make sure everything's going in the right direction. Like, do yourself, do the due diligence for yourself, do the extra work for yourself to make sure you're not paying crazy fees that you don't have to pay. Make sure that you're taking advantage of all the products you need to take advantage of. Make sure that your plan is organized in a way that benefits you to the maximum level. You can go to retirementresults.com/plan and get that free custom portfolio analysis from Ford Stokes. You'll make a great friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. So what does the future look like? What does the future look like for Hank and Walker? Look, I think both of them have a future at Auburn. And I think both of them have a future that could possibly be the starting quarterback at Auburn. But I think each one of them are going to have a different decision-making process along the way. It seems clear that Auburn's starting quarterback for 2025 is more than likely not on the roster. You're going to probably go to the portal there. So what does that mean for Hank and Walker? Because I don't know that they're going to have an opportunity to compete for it, but I don't know that barring injury, either one of those guys are going to be really the guy for 2025. So what happens to both of them? They have some big time decisions to make this week over the holidays, over this December, January, maybe into even spring, after spring. And I think each one of them, the decision is a little bit different. And I think a lot of it depends on who you bring in for quarterback. If you bring in a one-year guy, not sure who that is. If you bring in a one-year guy, to me, it makes a lot of sense for both of them to stay, including Hank. Because Hank, like, if you really think about it, I love Hank, and I think Hank's got a bright future, and I think he's got an opportunity to do well at Auburn eventually. But what spot's going to be open for Hank right now? Where is Hank? What options are Hank really going to have in the portal? Now, everybody's looking for quarterbacks, but as far as like where he wants to be and what level he wants to play at, I think more than likely he's going to have to take some sort of like G5 type role. Maybe he can find somewhere to start, but I think that option would still be there in 2026, even if he doesn't play. So if I'm Hank and it's a one-year guy, I think I definitely hang out. I think I definitely hang out and compete. And then let's see what happens in 2026, because my options in the portal in 2025 are probably still going to be there in 2026 if it's only a one-year guy at Auburn. But if they, you know, and then if I don't, if things don't look like they're going in the right direction in 2026, I can still make the same decision. Walker, I mean, you see Hugh's dedication to getting him reps, and you see Hugh's dedication into getting him into the action and developing him. If I'm Walker, I understand I came from a small classification. I've got to get myself up to speed. I'm competing really hard, and in one more year is just going to be better for me. So I can come in, try to compete and win the backup job, and then I'm going to be a part. I'm going to get a really good chance to win the job in 2026 moving forward. So Walker, to me, it makes no difference. If I'm Walker, I'm staying regardless. I think I got a pretty good chance. There's a path regardless. Now, if they bring in a two-year guy, things get a little bit different. I think if I'm Walker, I'm still hanging out. If it's a multi-year guy, Hank, that may be to where I'm starting to look at a different route, because I could go jump down, have a really good season at, say, like Middle Tennessee State. I could go to like a Middle Tennessee State and win the job, light it up, and then I'm back on the market, and I can probably jump back up to a bigger school, and I got many years left to be able to pursue that if it's a multi-year guy. I don't know what Auburn's going to choose. I don't know if Auburn's going to be if it's going to be a one-year guy or if it's going to be a multi-year guy. I don't think Auburn can make a decision. I think the decision has to be who helps us win in 2025. I don't think it needs to be who's the best one-year guy that helps us win in 2025. Who's the best this year guy to win in 2026? I just think they have to go find the best quarterback they can get. Unfortunately, because of the results of this season, you cannot do this again. If you want to continue to be the coach at Auburn, if you want to continue to build what you've sort of built through the recruiting and the off the structure off the field and the coaching staff, if you want to continue to kind of build on that momentum, you cannot have what happened this year happen again. So you got to go find the best guy. No matter if it could be a 3-year guy. It could be a guy that just had a really hot freshman year. If it's the best guy, you got to go get the best guy and then deal with the ramifications of that afterwards. So, and unfortunately, that's sort of the bed that you've made yourself. So now you got to lay in it and figure out the best way to win. So the quarterback situation is going to be interesting to see how it unfolds after the season. Peyton seems to be the guy moving forward, and I'm fine with that. If he's the best guy, you got to roll with the best guy. You can't throw the towel in on the season. You can't do that to your team. You can't send that message. You got to try to do everything you can to win every single game, no matter what your record is. And I think that's the way you build trust. That's the way you build culture. And that's the way even when things are down, that's the way you get kids to rally behind you to say, hey, I'm still going to fight. I'm still going to give all you guys the best opportunity to win. And we're going to coach our tails off no matter what the record is. So we'll see how everything plays out. And we'll be talking about the press conference and any recruiting news. Gosh, signing day is just slamming up close. It's getting here. It seems like it's just it feels like it should be further away, but it's really just right around the corner. And we're definitely I'm honestly ready for it to get over with. I'm ready for this class to be signed because it's such an elite class. I don't want to lose anybody. So we'll talk about that also as the week goes on. But, guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.